going to be talking about the presence of God tonight. Last time we left off, it was the chapter 18, and we saw how Moses' father-in-law there, Jethro, kind of encouraged his son-in-law to say, hey, man, you're working yourself to death, meeting each and every need, hearing all the needs of all these people. You're the only one doing it. Why don't you get some other men to help you and help deal with some of the issues that are going on in the body? And this way you just take the more important issues and the bigger issues and to kind of just give him that relief. And he took his father's counsel. But as we get into chapter 19, we're going to see that God has this awesome opportunity for the children of Israel to come to the presence of God, to come to the foot of the Mount Sinai. We're going to see it. But it's going to be so interesting to us because God tells Moses, listen, just let them come near. I just want them to hear my voice. I just want them to hear me answer you and to listen to the voice so that they'll believe forever. Now, we know in a few chapters they're going to doubt again. And that certainly does identify for a lot of us because we've seen God work in our lives. You've seen God do things in your life, but maybe here tonight you're still wondering if God will continue to be faithful. Because that's just our humanness. Will God continue to be faithful? And I believe he will. It may not go according to what our plan is. It may not go according to the way we would like things to pan out, but God is faithful. And we want the God's presence to be with us. And I believe God's presence is here with us. Because what? If you believe in Jesus, he dwells in you, does he not? So he never leaves you, never forsakes you. But it's in those times of testing, it's in those times of difficulty, the storms of life, where we begin to wonder, Lord, where are you? What is it you're doing? Why are you allowing this to happen into my life? I'm a Christian. I love you, Lord. Well, my Bible and your Bible tells us the very same thing, that in this world we'll face these tribulations. We'll face these difficult things. It's just for our growing and our testing of our faith to stretch our faith. Because faith that is not stretched, faith that is not put to the test, it really isn't strong faith. And it's those who have tested the Lord and tasted that he's been good and experienced the Lord that their faith is strong because they have confidence in God. So we're going to be talking about the presence of God. Well, we're going to look at some of the things. What is that about in the days that we live, in the New Testament times? You know, we're beyond this. We through Jesus Christ, and we have a different perspective, don't we? When it comes to the Word of God, and as we're reading through our Old Testament, we have a different perspective on God because we see God through Jesus Christ. We see God in a different way. But in the Old Testament, there was somewhat of a separation. It was Moses that was the spokesman between God and the people. And yes, God's going to say, come near to the mount, but don't come too close. In fact, if you touch the mountain that I'm on, you will die. And that was some seriousness. And even what we sang tonight, that the holiness of God. Guys, I'm hoping and praying that tonight we'll leave here with a greater appreciation for the holiness of God. He's a holy God. He cannot be near sin. He can't look to sin. Thanks be to us that you see from the New Testament side that through Jesus Christ, when God looks at you, he sees his son perfect. I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for that. And because of Jesus, we can come close to the Lord. We can have that intimate relationship with God. We can enter into the Holy of Holies, which we'll talk about as we go through here. But see, Moses has this unique relationship with God, does he not? Different than anyone else at this particular time as we're reading. And so let's go ahead, jump in here, verse 1, chapter 19, and let's begin to read. It says, in the third month, after the children of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on the same day they came to the wilderness of Sinai, for they had departed from Rephidim, had come to the wilderness of Sinai and camped in the wilderness. So Israel camped there before the mountain. And Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings, and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people. For all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. Let's pause right there and give me your attention. What happens here? The children of Israel have gone through and have left Egypt. They've gone through the wilderness. They were camping there at Rephidim and the experiences that they had there. Now they've moved and God's moving them. And now they're coming to this wilderness of Sinai and they're coming to the mountain of God. And I don't know if you noticed it, but I could not get past it when I read it in verse 3 where it says here, and Moses went up to God. Think about that for a minute. Moses went up to God. Moses approached God. Moses, again, has this unique relationship with God. He's one that can talk to God, and in a sense, face to face. And we'll see that as we go through here, the Shekinah glory that he has from the presence of God. So much so that the children of Israel at some point are going to get afraid of that. But not Moses. He has a unique relationship with God. He has a personal relationship with God. And he has no problem to go up to God and to be in the presence of God. See, Moses was the go-between between God and Israel. We've already talked about that. And again, on this side of Jesus Christ, Jesus is that one that gives us access to the Father. Through Jesus Christ, we all have access. We don't need a mediator other than Jesus Christ that makes the connection, but we don't need anything else to get to God. You know that tonight, at this very moment, you can go up to the Creator of the universe. You can talk, you can have communion with him, you can have an experience with God. I think that's something we neglect to do these days, to take the time to spend time with God. Why? Well, we got Facebook, we got Twitter, we got responsibilities, we got kids, we got jobs, we got all these other things that are taking our time. And one of the things is that we all need is to spend time in the presence of God. If we're searching and if we're seeking, and I know each and every one of us in here, if we have a pulse running through our veins, that we're seeking something for our lives. We're asking God to do something. And so it's that presence with God that is so important. See, we don't need a go-between. You can come to him at any time. I want you to keep your place in Exodus. We're going to come back. But turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, if you will. We're going to jump around just a little bit tonight. Ephesians chapter 2, we'll pick up in verse 14. Paul writing to the church of Ephesus, he says these words, Ephesians 2 and 14, "For he himself, speaking of Jesus, is our peace, who has made both one," speaking of Gentiles and the Jews. He's making these two become one, both one, "and has broken down the middle wall of separation." See, in the temple, there was a Gentile court and there was a Jewish court. There was a separation in the temple, and Jesus has broken that down, he says, that middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity or the division. That is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near, Gentiles and Jews. Verse 18, "For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father." Access to God through Jesus Christ. If you're here tonight and you have faith, put your faith and hope in Jesus Christ, you have access to the Father. You don't have to come to church. You don't have to go speak to some holy person. You don't have to speak to some spirit or some holy person from the Bible. You get to go directly to the Father. When you pray, you ask, "Father, hear my prayer. Father, hear my heart." That is the access that Jesus Christ has given to us. That is the direction that he's given us. And I ask you tonight, do you approach God with confidence? Not in confidence in yourself. Not confidence in what you've done. If you've read your Bible and you've prayed, when you come to God, it's because of what Jesus has done. And that should be something we need to rest our confidence in. See, if you're not coming to God in confidence, let me ask you, what's keeping you away? What's keeping you from coming with that confidence and that boldness to God? Is there sin in your life? Is there a relationship that you're in that doesn't please God and you know it? And so there's that hesitancy to come to God. My friends, There's these things that keep us from God, and they need not be there. Because I believe it's when we get close to God that those things that are keeping us from God will work themselves out. It's when we get close to God that we hear and see the presence of God. We hear his heart. We hear his will. And we begin to look at those things in our lives that are causing that separation and go, I don't want that in my life anymore. And those are tough decisions. But those are right decisions in the presence of God. In the presence of a holy God. See, I want to give you, as we say goodbye to Ephesus and we go, and go back to Exodus, I want to give you five ways you can come to God today. Five ways that we come to God. Number one, pretty obvious, we're doing it tonight. We're reading his word. Reading the scriptures. Understanding what God has done in times past. That's what we're reading. I mean, we've been going through Exodus now for several months. And we can look at Exodus and say, oh, those are just old stories. But doesn't it reveal the character of God to us? Doesn't it reveal to us the love of God? Doesn't it reveal to us the holiness of God as we're looking at tonight? See, when we read the Word of God, we understand the things God has done in time past. We learn about his Son, Jesus Christ. I was just talking to someone today who has a friend who's not a believer, but they're a good person. Anybody know anybody like that? They don't believe they need God. They don't need Jesus. They're a good person. And he was talking about, how do I get them to believe in Jesus? I said, you don't get them to believe in Jesus. You just show them Jesus in your life. And when something happens in this person's life, because it will, that reveals their need for a Savior, then you're going to be there. And let your life be an example. Because when something goes on in your life and you're able to handle it in a godly way, they're going to say, how did you do that? That's how you do these. And so we learn about Jesus and we learn about the characters in the Bible so that we can be godly people. We can understand those things. Searching the ways God interacts with his people. I don't know about you, but I'm sure there's somebody here tonight that goes, I've never heard the voice of the Lord. I've never heard God speak to me. If you've ever read the scriptures, you've heard God's voice. That's where you start, my friend. That's where you start to hear the voice of God, is by reading the scriptures, hearing how he talks to others in the Bible. And then finding out how he wants you to interact with other Christians. That's what we've been talking about on Sundays. How we deal with each other in our relationships, in the church, outside of the church. So reading the word is so important. And I believe that you're someone here tonight that loves the word of God because you're here on a midweek, taking your time to read the scriptures. And that's what's important. To read his word brings us close and into the presence of God. Number two, fellowship with other believers. Fellowship with other believers. Hearing what God is doing in someone else's life. That is so encouraging to me when I hear, this is what God showed me. When someone says, I was doing my devotion the other morning and God just spoke to me very clearly. And man, he gave me direction in my life. Hearing his voice. Fellowship with one another. I can remember, and this was too many years ago for me to put a number to it, but it was many years ago. I was a young Christian, and I remember a missionary teaching at a Calvary chapel, sharing the experiences this person has had, that God took them into the jungles and how he saved them from tragedy after tragedy and continued to save his life. And I remember sitting there and listening to this man's testimony, going to myself, I wonder what God's going to do in my life. Wonder how God's going to use me. And it was listening to this man's testimony. It was listening to the power of God working in this missionary's life that made me start to go, I want more in my relationship with God. I don't want it to just be, I believe in Jesus so I don't go to hell. I don't want it to be, oh, I love this church because I have a lot of friends and we go to an Italian restaurant after church. It's not about that. It's more of about, what is God doing in your life? What's God doing in my life? You know, because once we experience the love of God, once we experience the true forgiveness of God, when we get those phone calls or those texts and someone says, please pray, they just found out yesterday that my father has a brain tumor, and tomorrow morning they're doing brain surgery. That's when you can type back a text or say on the phone, God's in control. It doesn't seem like it right now, but God's in control. Why? I've experienced God being in control of my life when it didn't seem like it. But please pray for me. And I love the fact, and I don't think it's because I'm a pastor, But I love the fact that people can trust me enough to say, I've got something going on in my life. Will you pray for me? Yes, I will. And I will tell people at our church to be praying for you. Why? Because we believe prayer works. And through fellowship with each other, we see prayer work, right? We see prayer work. And then this fellowship together, we know that God is with us when we come together in his name, right? If you're taking notes, Matthew 18, verse 20, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in their midst. Whew, that's good to know. It's good to know that when we get together, as long as we get together for the purposes of God, Jesus is there. If we get together and we go to a concert, or if we get together and go to a football game, maybe, maybe not God's there. But if we're coming together to read the word, to pray for each other, and to worship the Lord, he's here, guys. He's here. And we can know that he's here because his word is true. And if you need an answer, if you need a recharge from the Spirit of God, let me tell you, there's nothing better than getting around someone who's in love with Jesus and on fire. Find somebody who loves Jesus and on fire, because you'll catch it. That's contagious. When someone loves Jesus so much that they trust him with everything, it's contagious. That's the beauty of fellowship. Number three is communion. When we take the Lord's Supper together, when we come together and we remember what God did by sending his son upon the cross to die for our sins. Because I think if we forget that, if we begin to set that aside and go, yeah, he died on the cross for my sins. I know that. That's Christianity 101. Great. No, no, no. He went to the cross and was beaten and was nailed to a cross and died and said, Father, forgive them. When we take our communion and we remember what Jesus did, we're getting our focus off of our situation. We're focusing on, God, you did that for me. You did that for me. Now, let me challenge you. Have you ever taken communion on your own? Have you ever done it with your spouse? Have you ever done it with your family? Have you ever done communion with your friends? See, communion isn't just when the church does it once a month. It's not. And maybe for some of us, you're like, wow, I never thought of that. Do you know how, two places I'm going to give you, 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and Luke chapter 22 are the two places in Scripture that are written about the Last Supper. And those, you just read those Scriptures and say, as often as you do this in remembrance of me. Well, does that mean, well, church, you need to do it more? No. It means we as Christians need to do it more. And if you're seeking God's heart, if you're seeking God's will and you want to get closer to God, man, partake communion. It's nothing more than a little matzah chip, you know, matzah bread, and you get a little juice. You can do wine if you like, but it's holy. It's the elements that represent Jesus Christ and the body that was beaten for you and the blood that was shed for you. Because when I remember that the blood that was shed for me cleanses me from all unrighteousness, guess what? I want to be righteous. I want to be more righteous. It causes me to not want to dishonor God with my attitudes and my behaviors. It's remembering this. Number four. You getting these down? Prayer, praise, and petitions. Prayer, praise, and petitions. Asking him to meet your needs, to reveal his will, and really, listen, to save the lost. And I just heard a message this morning, and it really convicted me. You know, when we pray for the lost, oh God, please save the lost. Kind of a blanket prayer, right? Do we really know if God answers that prayer? Well, of course, he's always saving the lost. But if we're really going to experience the power of God and God answer our prayers specifically, how about we pray, God, please save my dirty, rotten, sinning neighbor. Save them, Lord. Show them the love of Christ and do it with the right heart. I was exaggerating there. It's like, God, please move in the heart of my great aunt. Who doesn't know you and who mocks me because I carry my Bible. Pray specific prayers, focused prayers that are specific so that when the answer comes, you go, wow, I was a part of that. That brings you closer and brings you into the presence of God. Because listen, I believe God answers all prayer. You hear me? God answers all prayer. It's just not always the answer we want. You know, when you ask God, he moves. Sorry, I got something in my eye. It's supposed to be a contact, but it's doing something crazy. Specific prayer, guys. Praising him for what he's done in your life, what he's doing in your life, and what he's going to do. And to be thankful. thanking him for forgiving you of your sins. Man, that's one of the best prayers to be given to God. Thank you, Lord, for blessing me, forgiving me my sin. And this last one is an action one, number five, that brings us closer to God, stepping out in faith. Uh-oh. Stepping out in faith, doing something you wouldn't normally do, but you sense in some way God wants you to do it. Have you ever been walking through Target and God goes, go pray with that person? Have you ever been, you know, getting a latte at Starbucks and God says, ask that person at the behind the register if they need any prayer? Oh, no, Lord. What if they say yes? What am I going to do? You're going to pray for them. Stepping out in faith, doing something, getting yourself in the place where God can use you, because I believe we'll get closer to God if we become someone who's available to do something. Stepping out in faith. Stepping out of the boat, if you will. Be a Peter. Walk on water. Do something miraculous. I can't walk on water. I've tried. Have you ever, anybody ever tried walking on water? I've tried. I've got big feet. I figured it would work. You need a lot more faith than I got. But I have stepped out in faith. I have stepped out and put myself in a position where I said, God, use me. And you know what he does. And if you truly have that heart to step on faith, say, God, this morning I'm going to wake up and I want you to do something crazy in my life. I bet you he'll do it. And I bet you you'll want to do it again. And so those are the things that help us get close to God, to be in the presence of God today. And that's what we're seeing here in Moses. Moses, again, verse 3, and Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians. What God wants Moses to do is to go down to the children of Israel and remind them all the things that God had already done for them. I think sometimes we forget that. I think sometimes we forget what God has done for us in the past because we're so concerned about what we want God to do for us today that we've forgotten what God has done. And I just can't get away from it, but, you know, the children of Israel saw the 10 plagues. They saw each and every one of them. They saw how the oppression on the Egyptians was there, but yet they were taken care of. You know, the locusts were everywhere, but for them, there was no locusts. I mean, it was like they were guarded. They saw that with their own eyes. They experienced it with their own eyes. They saw the Red Sea part. They saw it. And listen, guys, let's not forget that these are stories that have been passed on from generation to generation, but this was the only generation that actually physically saw these things. Think about that for a second. Actually physically seeing God do these things. Do you believe these things happened? You do, right? Why? Have they happened in your life? No, you believe by faith. You believe because they've passed it on. And God says, listen, in verse 4, you have seen what I did. You saw it with your own eyes. Don't forget it. They're going to forget it. And that doesn't mean we just get down on the children of Israel and go, what's wrong with you? You saw it with your own eyes. I'm sure all of us in here have seen God do an amazing work, and still today we doubt. Still today we go, oh, Lord, are you going to do it? What's going on? My job, I need a job. God, you know it. I need this job. And it's like, no, listen, you've seen me do things in your life in the past. Trust me now. Trust me now. You saw what I did to the Egyptians. You saw that I bore you on eagle's wings. In other words, I carried you through the wilderness. I've been protecting you. You've seen these things. You've witnessed these things with your own eyes and how I brought you to myself. There is nothing more than the Lord wants than to just spend time with you. Just spend time with you. And he's like that grandfather that says, get over here, son. Get over here, daughter. Just sit next to me. I want to tell you a story you've heard a million times. You know what grandpas do? They tell you the same story over and over. That's what God wants us to do, is to tell our stories over and over and over, the things that we've seen God do. They saw it with their very own eyes. They witnessed these things personally. And every generation since then has only heard about them. And we believe them as if it happened to us. But we're the believers. We believe it. There's a world out there that doesn't believe it. They think it's a bunch of stories. It's ridiculous. They try to explain it away, why the Red Sea did what it did. You know what? I believe God did it. That's enough for me. believing it, knowing it in our hearts. What have you seen God do in your life? What have you witnessed personally? Take time sometimes just to sit down with a blank pad and on the top say, this is what God has done for me. And record it. Record it. I was sitting there today as I was studying. I'm going, okay, Lord, I know you've done a lot of things for me. Help me to remember them. Our minds get so clouded with the today, with the now, and with the tomorrows that we forget about our yesterdays. What has God done? Has he opened your eyes? What has he raised from the dead in your life? I know a lot of times I've thinking that thing, that dream, that vision, that's long gone. But God has brought it back and made it happen. What has he given you strength to do today? What is it? What are those things that he's done? What have you witnessed personally? That to me, my friends, is a strong testimony of what God has done in your life. Look at verse 5. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure. To me above all peoples, for all the earth is mine. God makes an agreement here with Israel. This is the beginning of the Mosaic covenant. And then this is what God says here in verse 5. If you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me. We have a responsibility. They had a responsibility, the children of Israel, to follow God and to follow God, to obey his voice, and he would protect them if they would do that. They would be a special people. But listen, those blessings that the children of Israel, that came with the children of Israel, also brought a responsibility to be a strong testimony to proclaim the goodness of their God. See, I think sometimes in our lives we can be blessed and we can just feel the peace of God, the presence of God, and everything's going good. Usually during those times I get nervous. It's like the carpet's going to get pulled out from under me. Everything's going good, right? But we have a responsibility when things are going good, when life is going well, we have a responsibility to give credit where credit's due. And we need to really tell people why we're doing good, why we're feeling that peace that surpasses under, why everything's going well. You know, I know several people in our fellowship that financially are doing very well during this economic turmoil, just doing well economically. When everybody else is stressing out and the markets are crazy, and oh my gosh, why is that? And each and every one of them that I know that are doing well financially say it's because of the grace of God. It almost comes to me, is almost like God put upon their hearts to prepare for thinner days. And here it is, the thinner days are here, and they're doing fine. And that's a testimony to God. It's not, hey, I'm smarter than anybody else, or ha, I selected the right investments. No, no, no. They believe that it's because God guided them and directed them and told them to put their house in order because these times were coming. And that's a responsibility we have, guys, as Christians, to represent God properly. To represent him properly. I don't know if he knows how to do this, but Psalm 117. I never knew it only had two verses in it. Did you ever know that? I found that out. I'm going to read it to you. Oh, praise God. Praise the Lord. Look at this. This is the entire psalm right here. It says, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Laud, which means glorify or exalt him. All you peoples, for his merciful kindness is great towards us, and the truth of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. This is what we're to do. The house of God should be a group of people that love God so much, that are blessed by God so much, that we can proclaim to everyone, you need to know this God, because he is so good. He is so gracious. And praise his name, and glorify his name, lift up his name, all peoples, Gentiles, Jews, all. Yes, God chose the Jewish, the Hebrew people to be his chosen people. But that's not just an exclusive club. He's like, I want you to be blessed because I want other people to come to know me as well. That, as we read there in Ephesians, that the two would become one special man, one special people, to praise the name of God. If we will follow God, if we will obey his word, he will make us special. Guys, there's no amount of money you can get in your bank account that'll make you at more rest than the presence of God, than the peace of God. You know what? The more money you have in the bank, the more you got to be worried of who's going to take it. That's why I say give it away. Give it away. Be generous. Because I believe God, as the Bible says, God loves a generous giver, a cheerful giver, thank you. He loves a cheerful giver. And I believe if you give, he'll give you more to give away. And to just be that person that is ready to do the will of God, to follow God, to obey. That obedience is more important than sacrifice, the Bible says. Above all things, be obedient to God. When you read his word, when you hear his truth, be obedient to it. We're to be set apart for his work. We're to be set apart to do his will. But we have to be prepared beforehand. Preparation by learning his ways. If we're going to go out and proclaim Jesus Christ and the good news of Jesus Christ and have a relationship with God, shouldn't we be prepared for that? We don't just go out and say, hey, the Bible says this. We need to have a good testimony. Say, this is what he did in my life. This is how he did it. And he's going to prepare. And that's what he's doing, preparing the people. Listen to me. Follow my covenant, and I'll make you a blessed nation. I'll make you a special people. Because in 1 Corinthians 4:2, it says, moreover, it is required in stewards that they be found faithful. Faithful. The word required means it's expected. It's expected. The problem is we want the blessings of God. We don't really want to have the obedience of God. We don't want to be obedient to what he says. We don't want to live our lives according to the scriptures. We want to live our lives the way we want, and then we just want God to bless it. No, it doesn't work that way. He requires, he expects faithfulness. Look at verse 7. We'll move through this a little faster. Woo! So Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before them all these words which the Lord commanded him. So Moses goes back down to the people and says, hey, this is what God says. Look at this in verse 8. Then all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. Highlight that in your Bible. All that the Lord has spoken, we will do. Wouldn't that be a great testimony for any Christian? Everything that God has ever said. We'll do it. The word all there in the original language means all. It's very profound. Everything that the Lord has spoken, we will do. This is a great response for us, guys. But it's also a tough one. I wish it came easy, but it doesn't. I don't know about you, but I lived 26 years on this planet living apart from God. And I've only been with the Lord 18. So I've had more years away from God than with God. So there's a lot more bad behavior in me than there is good behavior, but I'm learning. And I'm desiring that everything in my life, from my thought life to the intents of my heart, would be pure before God. That I wouldn't get mad when the red light happens and I'm late for a meeting. That I wouldn't get upset when somebody pulls in front of me. That I wouldn't get upset when someone flicks a cigarette butt out the window. Sorry. I'm telling you, I'm going to jail for that one day because I'm going to flick it right back into somebody's car. I'm going to jail. I've said that before. I can't wait to be in jail. What are you in for? I flicked a cigarette back at somebody. Why is that okay? You know? Anyway. I digress. Wouldn't you say that's a great commitment? All that the Lord has commanded, we will do. And you know what? We got to start somewhere, guys. We can't look at it and go, oh, it's an impossibility. We have to start somewhere and begin to put these things into place and begin to say, you know what? I've got to start somewhere. I'm going to be obedient in this area. God isn't looking for absolute obedience the second you get saved. There's a lot of things he takes out right in the beginning. And then he works on some things that are still there, some behaviors. Have you ever read a book or read a scripture, or even hear a lyric to a song that really just penetrates your heart in such a way you're going, oh, that's what I want more. I want more of God because of what I just read about God, or the scripture just brings life to you. Or sometimes, I mean, some of these musicians, these Christian musicians, are so gifted at lyrics. It's like, oh yeah, that's what I want. Those times, those are the times when you hear the voice of God say to you, this is what I want from you. I want more from you. God expects a lot from us, but listen, he doesn't expect us to do it by ourselves. Praise God. He says, I expect a lot from you, but I'm going to give you my Holy Spirit to help you through, to guide you. brings you to the place where you want more for God. You want to do more for God. And I'm not saying a labor that's overwhelming, but I mean, just, Lord, use my life. Use my life. Look at verse 9. And the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I come to you in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with you and believe you forever." So Moses said, told the words of the people to the Lord. So Moses goes back to God, and God says, "Listen, I want the people to hear my voice as I speak to you." And Moses comes to, "Hey, listen, God, the people, they are ready to do whatever you say, and they were ready to hear your voice." That's what he's saying here. He's saying, I want them to hear my voice. And it's so important for us today to hear the voice of God. Don't hear those other voices. Drown out the other voices. The voices that are not of God. The voices that are those people that don't believe. Those voices that are people that think the Bible is ridiculous. Drown out those voices. Reject those voices. Listen to the voice of God. Hear when he speaks. Hear and believe. Notice it says that. That the people may hear when I speak with you and believe you forever. Would you believe more if the roof came off and God spoke right from heaven? I don't know about you, but I'd be like, "Whoa, that was big. That was God." The children of Israel are going to be able to go up to the Mount Sinai, and there's going to be a cloud over the whole mountain, and they're going to hear the voice of God. They're going to hear Moses say, "Hey, God." And God's going to go, "Yes, Moses. I want to see this tape. I want to see this replay. I want to see how this raid played out," because that would be something we'd so desire, wouldn't we? To hear the voice of God. "Listen, you can't see me, but you can hear me." Isn't that interesting? God says, "Listen, I'm just going to come down on the mountain. I don't want them to see me. In fact, I don't want to even get close to the mountain, but I just want them to hear me." You know? God said, "Nobody can see me and live." Nobody can see me and live. Even Thomas. Jesus said to Thomas, "Because you have seen me, you believe. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed." Right? Blessed are those. We haven't seen God. We haven't seen Jesus, but we've experienced him. We've heard his voice. We hear his will. And we're to respond in that way, in obedience. Look at verse 10. We're going to move right through here now. "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes, and let them be ready for the third day. For on the third day, the Lord will come down upon Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. You shall set bounds for the people all around, saying, Take heed to yourselves that you do not go up to the mountain or touch its base. Whoever touches the mountain shall be surely put to death. Not a hand shall touch him, but he shall surely be stoned or shot with an arrow.'" Interesting little study there. Who's shooting the stone and who's shooting the arrow? "Not a hand shall touch him. Whether man or beast, he shall not live. When the trumpet sounds long, they shall come near the mountain." So Moses went down from the mountain to the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. And he said to the people, "Be ready, for on the third day, do not come near your wives." Isn't it interesting that it takes 2 days for the process of cleansing both the people's bodies and their clothing? 2 days to consecrate, which means to sanctify, to be set apart. 2 days to cleanse them, but they can't even come near God. And let me put this thought in your mind. That's how holy God is. That no matter how hard you try to clean yourself up, we are still too sinful to even come into the presence of God until Jesus Christ. Think about that. Why do we try to be holy? Why do we try to be righteous? Why do we try to do it in our own strength? We can do it forever and we're still not going to be clean enough, but by the grace of Jesus Christ. And that's not to say don't try, don't make an effort, but don't try to do it in your own strength apart from Jesus. That's the thing about my friend today I was talking about, who's got a buddy who's a good person who doesn't need Jesus. He doesn't realize that apart from Jesus, he will be eternally separated from a loving God. And he hasn't gotten there yet. And we need to realize that it's nothing we can do to make ourselves more holy. Jesus did that for us. And I just think it's amazing. God says, hey, consecrate them for 2 days. Clean their clothes, but don't let them come near me. I still only want to hear them. And it's just, God wants us to do our part. But we got to realize, guys, it's only by the grace of Jesus Christ that we have full access to the Heavenly Father. And I hope tonight, each and every one of us here tonight has that hope in their hearts that they have Jesus Christ, that they believe. It's not about church attendance. It's not what state you grew up in. It's not what family you grew up in. It's if you believe in Jesus Christ. That's why each and every Sunday, as most as I can, I try to give an altar call at each and every service, because people need to get saved from themselves. Doesn't matter how much money you have. Doesn't matter how much you donate to a church or a nonprofit or a charity. It matters about your faith in Jesus Christ and your commitment to him. Verse 16. Then it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunderings and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain, and the sound of the trumpet was very loud, so that all the people who were in the camp trembled. Question, who blew the trumpet? Who blew the trumpet? Very loud. But look at Moses speaks up. Verse 17, and Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was completely in smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire. Its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. Can you imagine the sight? I mean, you just got to sit here and read these scriptures and think about the shaking, the loud trumpet, the cloud. It's like a firmness. This is the presence of God. It was an awesome sight, an awesome sight. Verse 19, and when the blast of the trumpet sounded long and became louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him by voice. Then the Lord came down upon the Mount Sinai on the top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. Let's just look at a couple things real quick. Number one, the Lord descends down upon the mountain. Now, this is very trivial for us because we know where God's home is in heaven. But all the false gods, all the idol worships from Egypt in these days, their gods lived on top of mountains. Not our God. Our God dwells in heaven. He comes down to the top of the mountain. He's a great and awesome God. So he descends down upon the mountain, a great noise, a great smoke, and he just speaks to Moses. Then the Lord came down upon the mountain, on the top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses to the top. Now, Moses is 80 years old. I don't know about you. I'm not that old. I don't like walking up mountains. It's a lot of work for an 80-year-old man to walk up a mountain, right? Look at verse 21 again. And the Lord said to Moses, go down and warn the people. God, I just got up here. Look what he says again. So the Lord said to Moses, go down and warn the people, lest they break through and gaze at the Lord, and many of them perish, right? They can't touch the mountain. Verse 22. And also, let the priests who come near the Lord consecrate themselves, lest the Lord break out against them. And this is a sad verse. But Moses said to the Lord, the people cannot come to Mount Sinai, for you warned us, saying, set bounds around the mountain and consecrate it. What's basically Moses saying? Oh, God, don't worry about it. The people said they're going to listen to your voice. They're not going to break through. Have you ever told God what to do? If God tells you to do something, I suggest you do it. Moses, what are you doing, buddy? Well, I'm 80 years old. I don't want to go back down the mountain. But there's a sense of, I don't know, humanity in Moses. Oh, don't worry, God. And maybe we do that sometimes. Maybe we minimize things. And we say, don't worry, God. I've got this. Don't worry, God. I'm okay. I prayed. Don't worry, God. I've read my Bible. Don't worry, God. I've got this. That's where Moses is. It reminds me of the time when the disciples, when Jesus said, listen, you know, the time has come. I'm going to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to be killed, and they're going to lift me up. And what's Peter say? Never, Lord. He says, Peter, I tell you, sure as day. Before the day is up, after the crow crows three times, you're going to deny me three times. Or the crow cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. He goes, never. I will die with you, Lord. Right? Same thing. Same thing that Peter did hear Moses saying, don't worry, God. See, God knows the hearts of people. He knows us. I don't know about you, but I'm standing down by the tape. I'm going to be leaning over the tape going, I really want to see him. If we're this close and God's right up there, I want to get a look. Right? I mean, how many times we've been in a bank where they got those little things and we hop over those, right? I mean, if God was outside that in that corridor, well, how fast would we run to the door? And Moses says, oh, don't worry, Lord. They said they're going to do whatever you say. But look at verse 24. Then the Lord said to him, away. Get down and then come up. Now he's got to go down and come back up. Come up, you and Aaron with you. But do not let the priests and the people break through to come up to the Lord, lest he break out against them. So Moses went down to the people and spoke to them. Moses goes down and says, guys, God doesn't believe you. Doesn't believe you're going to listen to him. Guys, this is such an amazing story. That God wants to have communion with us. God wants to have relationship with us. God wants to speak to us. And we, as the New Testament believers, get to have such a close and intimate relationship with God that if we just stop, one last stop, Hebrews chapter 2, we'll close here. There's nothing more that God wants than to spend time with you. And when we truly sit and listen and think about the presence of God, and the fact that we are here right now and the presence of God is here with us, it should, in a sense, bring a sense of holiness, a sense of holy fear in our hearts that God is here. God sees my heart. God knows the intents of my thoughts. He sees everything. And if we see here how we are to approach God, the writer of Hebrews tells us, look at verse 14 in Hebrews chapter 4. Did I say 2? Sorry. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 says, seeing that we have a great high priest, speaking of Jesus Christ, who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. If you don't leave with anything here tonight, I pray that you leave with at least this, that God wants to be with you. God wants you to come and spend time with him, and he wants you to approach him with boldness. Come boldly to the throne, listen, not of judgment, not of wrath, the throne of grace. In the presence of God, there's grace. There's mercy. God knows what you're dealing with. God knows what's going on in your life. God knows the struggles you're having. And he still loves you. He still loves you. And he just wants you to come to him. So my question, when was the last time you boldly came to God?